we still have a retro fraud mentality in an artificial intelligence world, and it just doesn't connect well enough. You've got to be ahead of the game. And that means you have to exchange that information and share it.
This is season 5 of In Good Companies from Cadence Bank, the podcast where we share the forces shaping your business to help you navigate the opportunities ahead. Because that's what Cadence is all about. The expertise and flexibility to do business on your terms. We're empowered to help, whether it's through our podcast or any one of our more than 350 locations across the South and Texas. I'm your host, Patrick Pacheco. It's good to be back. Whether you've been with us for a while or you're new to the podcast, welcome to season 5. You're in safe hands here. As a matter of fact, these days at Cadence Bank, we've been thinking a lot about safety. Recent research by Springer shows that in 2023, 40% of all U.S. companies experience security violations. 40%. So how can we prevent that? What can we do to change our systems and catch fraud before it finds a way in? Well, today's guest has her idea.
My name is Cassie Chandler, and I am the founder and CEO of Vigeo Alliances. And it's a company that does leadership and talent risk management.
Corporate security is Cassie's specialty. And that's not just because her business focuses on risk management. No. Cassie has been in criminal intelligence for nearly 40 years. That voice you just heard, it belongs to a former FBI agent.
Spent just shy of 24 years in the FBI working white-collar crime, financial crimes, government frauds, and then moved into some leadership positions handling healthcare fraud, domestic terrorism intelligence, counterintelligence. It was just really an extraordinary and fun and exciting career.
Did you ever have to put on the bulletproof vest and get armed up and go to something?
Yes, I did.
All jokes aside, Cassie's professional journey is simply astonishing. She was the first African-American female to hold an assistant director role at the FBI. Once she left, she joined the private sector, implementing innovative security strategies to identify cyber and fraud risk at Bank of America. Now she runs her own business, and she's on a mission to spread her expertise.
Sharing the intelligence, that's been my big push for the last 10 years. And you're going to hear me say intelligence a lot, Patrick. I believe in it.
And we do too. So today, Cassie gives us a lesson in corporate security, from identifying risk to adopting the intelligence mindset. We're meeting the challenge of fraud right where it is, on our doorstep. And to get started, well, we need to know what fraud looks like.
I would say there are basically two areas that any and all businesses should be very much aware of. And first is the cyber crimes related businesses. You hear about this sort of thing all the time. And then there's the regular traditional, which I'm now starting to call retro fraud, because it's back with the actual documentation, right? Like checks and identity theft and all of the mail fraud, all the old things we used to. So the retro type fraud.
The back in the day fraud.
Yeah, the back in the day fraud. But it's still there. Sometimes it's being highlighted and pushed forward more efficiently through cyber connections. But I think the bottom line with all of it is that we have to understand that fraud is not something we can wait for anymore. It's not something you follow up on after it's happened. Fraud is about how much the business is letting happen because they're not paying attention and they're not following through fast enough.
Interesting. And now this can affect a business of any size, correct?
Any size.
So from the get-go, Cassie is pretty clear. Fraud takes many shapes. It happens quickly in all kinds of businesses. And if you're not reactive, your company is more fragile for it. So what are there particular areas of a company that seem to be more vulnerable than others?
Yeah, I think the technology aspect and some of the customer-facing areas are probably some of the key areas where you can see more fraud coming through the door. You know, I right now do a number of motivational leadership speeches across the country, and the first thing I start with is technology, and then say, there's no normal anymore. You know, the new norm is there's nothing normal because the technology just keeps changing and changing and changing. And so the moment you think you've got all the right data protections in place, something new is coming along, right? And you've got to be prepared and ready to switch and change and move quickly into something new that's come up. data use, artificial intelligence, it's all changing so fast that tomorrow, that was yesterday. So how do you, it's a matter of staying ahead of so much of that. And that's really hard to do, especially for small companies.
Yeah, they don't have just have the money to throw at the problem.
Exactly.
So there's a listener out there that they just started this business and they've been so excited about growing and charging for it. They haven't even thought about protecting their businesses and about security. What are the steps they need to take to start down this journey of protection?
I believe the biggest problems that we have is when you have multiple parts of a business, we have a tendency not to see the risk broadly across all areas. Are there disconnects between, for example, your information technology group versus your fraud group versus you might have a special cyber crimes group? Are all these components talking to one another? And if you've got a regulatory component, is there one person who's looking at what the possibilities of fraud are across an entire enterprise, or are each of them in their own separate little area and they're not really communicating very well and they're not sharing the intelligence at the level they should?
Okay, so tip number one, your team needs to communicate. Talk to one another. When you stay connected, all areas of your company are more visible, and that makes it easier to spot anomalies. Which leads us to tip number two, pay attention to what's coming in.
The first evidence of fraud could be something as simple as an email that you receive. Honestly, this happened to me. I was working with a business and I thought it was their URL. I clicked on the link inside a message that I thought came from them, and I didn't notice one letter was off. And it took me to a site that I immediately identified as fraud, and I was able to quickly get out of it. But how many people walk through that and see that? What are we clicking on when things are embedded like that in some of the messages received? Take a look at the call services that are working with clients from the outside. What are they receiving? What customers are reporting to us? And whether or not you see similarities in the same type of report from various customers, not just a single customer. If you're not looking at customer complaints and listening to it and seeing that there's some commonality in it, two or three customers, fraud's probably slipping in and you're not watching it in a way that's going to stop it or prevent it from developing further.
Once the information is flowing inside your systems, it's time for step three. Look beyond your purview. Start by asking,
who are your vendors? How are you disseminating information to them and how are they using it? And I'm going to pause right there and just tell you, I received a letter just recently, I think last week, from one of the businesses I work with that said that one of their companies that they do business with had a breach and my information was among the information that was stolen. And the information they received was my name, date of birth, social security, right? And my financial data. And I'm sitting back thinking, you know how many times I've received that, Patrick? I think I've received letters like that now. It's got to be at least six times. You know, my information's out there. And then how robust is our data protection system? How fast can it monitor, use word searches and detect this could be a possibility of a problem and send that information on for further evaluation and review?
So, and it seems like, you know, the one thing they're always looking for is data. They can get your name and address. That seems like that's a win. I mean, they're able to cross-check and figure out everything about you?
You do realize that anybody can do that right now because we provide so much access and we have no real controls in place. So let's say, for example, I started dating a gentleman and he had been divorced. and he still had a very good relationship with his spouse. So I went online to say, okay, then where is this spouse and where does he live and blah, blah, blah. I just want to make sure I don't get involved with someone and end up having a problem. And so one day, you know, he said, well, would you like to come over for blah, blah, blah? I can tell you where I live. I said, oh, that's all right. I already know where you live. and his first assumption was, oh, it's because you're the FBI. No, you can go on the internet, put your name in, and boom, there's your address. Mm-hmm. So we have so much, you know, there and available. So once somebody takes your address, how much easier is it to follow up? We used to have certain types of fraud where they were just scamming through bank after bank to find out where is this person's account. We've got their general information, their address and so forth. So we're just going to hit bank after bank until we identify one that says, oh, yes, once they have your social security, right, and your date of birth. and your address. Well, now things get very scary.
This kind of goes back to what you said earlier, that you talked about kind of the old school fraud. Well, the solution to it was technology. Technology just jumped right into the next round of fraud. So how do you implement digital security to keep the cybersecurity risk at bay when you're using the digital to prevent the old school fraud from occurring?
Well, one of the things I think we need to make sure of is that employees and even individually, because remember, I know we're talking about businesses, but this also impacts each of us individually. Fraud is everybody's problem. Are they using wireless networks that are secure? Are they being required to put passwords in? Routinely change the passwords, making sure that the information is secure. Are the systems being constantly updated? I tell you, the digital access that we're allowing out there and even what information we're receiving from our own clients that we're talking to via the internet, are we prepared? And are we constantly monitoring and knowing, because Cassie's going to throw this word back out, intelligence-wise, what's going out, what's coming in, and how we're monitoring it to make sure that there's not some fraud sneaking in alongside.
You hear it, right? Cassie's a pragmatist. She's always thinking in steps, solution after solution. But she also keeps the bigger picture in mind. That's what intelligence is all about. And with some practice, we can all adopt that mindset.
I need to say that intelligence is not just analytical, right? Intelligence is an everyday thing about any and everyone, every person on the job, all of our employees having a willingness to see more than what's just right there in front of them. I know a lot of people think, oh, we have to spend money to get these analytic teams on board, but it doesn't have to be someone who has a special background in intelligence analytics to identify something unique or unusual about a transaction that occurred in your business. For example, at Bank of America, we had a tech team, we had a cyber team, we had data analytics, but we also had a team of just investigators, individuals who were seeing and looking at things themselves, and then they saw any commonality or something unique. So they're curious. It's encouraging and training our employees to be curious, to ask the question, what does that mean? Ask the question, why is this so? So that there's a little something more here. It's all about using team smarts, family smarts, community smarts to protect our personal data online, identify any kind of emerging scams, any of the problems and issues with phishing, and then it's sharing that information in a timely manner.
Hey, I'm Taylor from Cadence Bank. Did you know that fraud is one of the biggest risks facing your business today? So, having fraud prevention tools in place is essential. Positive Pay and ACH Positive Pay can protect your business from payment fraud. They allow you to review unauthorized checks or automated clearinghouse transactions. This way, you can catch check and ACH fraud before the fraudulent checks or ACH debits are processed. Want to learn more? Then find out how our team can support your business at cadencebank.com.
So I'm not sure I have this exactly right, but something about when you're hiring new staff to ask a question about Star Trek. Is that which I thought that
who told you that?
I thought that was interesting.
Oh my gosh. I am a huge Star Trek fan, first and foremost, huge. And I think the computer system back in the 80s on Star Trek is the AI we're dealing with today. Do you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
The kind of communication and capability and the growth potential. There was a system that you could get your food, clothing, and everything from in Star Trek. And it was called a replicator. And I don't know if you know it, but when we take a look at our 3D printers today, do you know that right now they're experimenting with sales and how that 3D printer will be able to produce meat and food? And I know they're also using 3D printers in Houston to build houses. And it's okay, now we've got the component data that was in the Next Generation Star Trek series. And it was actually a humanoid. And I don't know if you noticed today that they're developing humanoids at a number of companies like Figure Company in China also and some other places. So yes, I think if everybody goes back and see with the potential and the capabilities in the original Star Trek series of shows, you're going to see the potential of where we're going next.
I always feel like some of these writers, Tom Clancy, Stephen King, it's almost like they had somebody telling them, these are things that are already in process, because everything they would write about is spot on with regard to the capabilities. And when you look at those capabilities, then you apply them to fraud, all of a sudden it gets to be pretty scary, I think.
Exactly. But I mean, just imagine having that mentality, though, and looking for the possibility of fraud. With fraud, you have to just think outside the box, because that's what brilliant fraudsters are doing. They're thinking outside the box, and they're taking advantage and using every possible tool to see if they can make some money with it or hurt or damage. We have to think outside the box, too. You think that way. You got to think like Star Trek.
That's right. Think like Star Trek. That basically means think like a fraudster. Always a few steps ahead. But it also calls on you to really understand your tech.
I think it's very important to make sure first that you have, I would say, a digital ready culture, such that you've got some type of a framework in place to identify any type of activity that's tracking across multiple vectors within the business, that you're talking to one another. We're all probably being hit the same way. Even larger businesses talking to one another, identifying some fraud or cyber intelligence, and constantly looking at emerging gaps and talking about those concerns and putting together plans to shut it down.
I think it also helped you develop a little bit more of a, you're seeing trends to help you, you know, kind of figure what may be coming down the pike if you're talking to each other.
Yes. Here's what I'm thinking, Patrick. I think we still have a retro fraud mentality in an artificial intelligence world, and it just doesn't connect well enough. You've got to be as intelligent as the artificial intelligence that others can manipulate and use. Be ahead of the game. And that means you have to exchange that information and share it.
When it comes to fraud prevention, you need a network of services around your organization. So it's up to us, business people, to get our hands in the dirt, not just inside our companies, but at the industry level too. It takes us all.
We on the small company side aren't necessarily getting some of the best possible intelligence that you might see in FBI or Secret Service or other agencies and companies being given to certain kind of companies. There's no way for us to share information quickly when we see something hit us. And so we just let it go. So what do you do with that? You can develop your own intelligence watch component. You don't have to wait for someone to come and give you data. You see something, if you're a member of the Rotary Club or you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce or whatever, and you have a cadre of companies your size that's in the same group, and you want to get together and talk about what you're seeing, I don't see there's a problem with that, because I understand I am a small business. I know what I can't do, but I know how I can work with others like me to at least know that they're doing it. And even if it's talking through your local law enforcement, though, there's a small group here, they could still have a monthly or a quarterly fraud intelligence meeting with all of us in the small group size. We have to start talking to one another. We have to start recognizing that intelligence is something that has to go beyond our door. And we have to make sure our teams are working inside and working outside as well.
You know, I've noticed that some companies want to fully disclose if they have some type of cybersecurity breach. Some want to minimize. A number of companies that get the ransomware is probably way underreported because others just pay it and move on down the line. So there's no communication there. How do we bridge that gap?
I think until, I hate to say this, but I believe until there's a regulator demanding it, people will do what they want to do. But there is nothing to say you have to report it and you have to work it through, because there's no regulatory oversight. I believe that when a company is hit by fraud, especially cyber fraud, any company, they should document it. They need to have a system for reporting it. Who do you report it to? And making sure other businesses like you know that this is occurring. It's so unfair the way we just let it occur. Yeah.
Okay. So training expectations, making everybody responsible, getting them to talk to each other. It's a lot to ask of individuals.
I might, you know what? I think it sounds like it's a lot to ask, but when you put that into the psyche, the mind, and the culture of an organization, its employees and its culture, I think it becomes just a natural part of that culture and a natural part of the environment. And employees get excited about it. It's like, ooh, 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 look, right? Look what I found. This is, ooh. Because then you're starting to encourage and inspire and support people for doing that, identifying those risks, identifying the problems and areas. It's not something that there should be a fear from because some regulator is coming. It's that you're saying, we want you to be curious. We want you to use intelligence. We want you to be driven in that way. And if you're encouraging them and supporting them, I truly believe they will follow through and get excited about it.
Yeah, you know, I've heard you say before that culture is the first risk. So how does that apply to a business?
If we're not building a culture that is intelligence driven, if we're not building a culture that is risk management insightful, and we're not pulling together teams that can move outside their specific world and connect the dots with other worlds and working together as teams, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. You got to have a culture that has that kind of expectation, right? They want to do it intelligence. They want to share information with each other. They are looking at how do we connect the dots. And then you stay ahead of it. You will.
If Cassie says we can, then we better get to it. So to start protecting your business today, remember this. Fraud comes in all shapes and sizes. Mail theft and check washing are still threats to you, and you should look out for them. But monitor your technology, too. Phishing emails, cyber attacks, and data breaches can easily go undetected. Our tech is changing all the time. So to stay ahead, you will need intelligence. That means increasing visibility across your company and making sure your teams communicate well. When information flows, it's easier to spot what doesn't look right. Once you have a good grip on your systems, look outside your company too. Your information is being handled by your vendors, your partners. Check in with them regularly. Look at other organizations and ask yourself, how are they keeping safe? What works for them and what doesn't? What are we all dealing with? And don't forget, many hands make light work. When we devise strategies at the industry level, we're all safer for it. At the end of the day, intelligence is about connecting the dots. Whether we're learning from Star Trek or reforming our processes, Cassie says, with a little practice, we can all get ahead of the game.
If a fraudster can be creative, an employee can be creative too, right? Sometimes we don't realize the brilliant talent we have right there in our own worlds and in our offices, and that they are forward-looking people, forward-thinking people. We just need to put them in the right role to be able to see and give them the tools to be able to see possibilities.
I want to thank Cassie Chandler for making us see the possibilities today and for proving that even in a digital age, fraud is really a human thing. As for us, we'll see each other next time. Until then, do you want to hear more In Good Companies? Then subscribe, rate, and review the show. We'll get to hear from you, and you'll help us make more episodes with even bigger guests. Win-win, right? In Good Companies is a podcast from Cadence Bank, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. Our production team is Natalie Barron and Edie Pengelly. Our executive producer is Daniel Cornell. This podcast is made in collaboration with the team at Lower Street. Writing and production from Lise Lavati. Sound design and mixing by Ben Cranham.
This podcast is provided as a free service to you and is for general informational purposes only. Cadence Bank and its affiliates make no representation or warranties as to the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the content in the podcast. The podcast is not intended to provide legal, accounting, or tax advice and should not be relied upon for such purposes. The views and opinions expressed by the host and guests in this podcast are solely their own current opinions regarding the subject matters discussed in the podcast and are based on their own perspectives. Such views, perspectives, and opinions do not reflect those of Cadence Bank or any of its affiliates or the companies in which any guest is or may be affiliated. The production and presentation of this podcast by Cadence Bank does not imply the expression of any opinion on part of Cadence Bank or any of its affiliates.